Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast with your hosts, Dwayne Dirksen and Tanner Friesen. Stay tuned for all kinds of hunting talk, outdoors talk, various other topics. You're sure to have a good time. You're in good hands.
Take up your bow and quiver full of arrows and go out into the open country to hunt some wild game for me. You know where that's from?
Oh, now
the 27th chapter of Genesis.
Genesis?
The third verse.
Yes, that's... I think I have that in my bio somewhere.
Makes sense.
So.
I want to hear it.
I heard it.
Say it.
For the first time this year, stage winner, MTJ.
Come on.
Come on. First, second, and race win. How about that 78 car?
Pulls them out. That guy's got some speed. And Sir Clayton Hughes, that guy has a voice. That guy has a, I guess the saying would be a face for radio, but good night, that guy's got a voice for those comms up in those cars.
You listen to some of his old stuff, it's pretty funny. He gets pretty hectic up here.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, you gotta listen to the old...
How long has he been with MTJ?
Since he was in the Napa car. The 56 Napa.
That's been some time.
Also, need to make a correction here.
What's that?
Last week, I said Lowe's has been with Jimmy Johnson since he started, which is incorrect. In fact, Jimmy hasn't been running the 48 since he started.
Go on.
He ran the number 6 Alliance car. I found out yesterday, actually.
Trevor Bain?
No, that's the Advocare car. Let's not associate old JJ with Trevor Bain. The bane of my existence.
Before we get too far into things, welcome here, I suppose, all you listeners. And yeah, it's all good.
Oh, it just looked like we were recording an hour in already.
I got confused.
Been a long week.
Yeah, that it has. Welcome here, all you listeners. This is Flatlands Field and Foul, episode 3.
Episode 3.
And special guest, hailing from Tall Oak Pursuit. Stanford Friesen, and y'all know my name. Or do you?
Bushmaster, 25. On the personal account.
That's what they call it.
Allegedly.
To be fair. Harvick. Into the wall.
Well, I mean, into Larson and then into the wall.
It looked like he was heading home for supper and Larson got in his way there.
It looked like he was trying to replicate the old 3 car.
Good.
What did he says? I wasn't trying to wreck him, just rattle his cage a little bit, but he
did take responsibility for it.
He did. He did hear on the radio after. Yeah. He did say that. Yeah. That was his fault. Which is cool to see, because so many drivers nowadays, they don't do that. Like it's always some other driver's fault and
just
or NASCAR's
bicker,
fault.
Bicker, yeah. And get mad and this and that. Come on, fellas. Take some responsibility for your actions once in a while.
Yeah, I understand, you know what, racing stuff's gonna happen, but there's times where you make a bonehead move and the outcome happens, just like Harvick did, you know. To be fair. That racing surface with those grooves they have cut in there, they'll tend to suck a fellow down, from what I've heard.
I suppose.
I mean, it happened to a couple guys in practice where they got sucked either up on one of those grooves or sucked down and spun the car or lost it and had to go to backup cars, but...
Harvick finished the race.
He did.
Six laps down.
That still takes guts to work on the car every, seemed like, 6 laps. They were bringing it in to...
Tweak
it up. I mean, I know you mentioned his toe was out of click and his steering wheel was off, but hey, they finished the race, and that's all you can really ask for from
Hey, that's better than a DNF.
That is true. I think you still get paid somewhat. even though you're 6 laps down.
Well, hey, so we should go sometimes, unfortunately.
Who do you like at Martinsville?
Well, is Chase going to win yet?
I don't know. That'd be a good question to ask him. Can we call him up real quick and get an interview on with Mr. Elliott? Because,
well, shoot, I'd sure like to hear from him, but...
Yeah. Hey, neat tidbit about Chase Elliott. You know when he signed his first pro contract? He was 15 years old. Rick Hendrick signed him at 15.
What was he racing? K&N East or something?
No, he was racing quarter midgets.
Oh. All right, then.
Yeah, neat fact. I mean, 15 years old, you just signed the contract to make millions of dollars. But hey.
With one of the...
Premier.
Godfathers of NASCAR.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Almost. For sure.
I guess you could call him that.
He's a godfather.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's not the king.
He ain't the king.
He's not the intimidator.
Definitely not. Definitely ain't the closer.
He ain't the closer, but hey, it's Rick Hendrick.
He's Rick Hendrick.
He's been around the block once or twice.
I mean, he does have rights to 7-time.
He does.
And 5-time, or sorry, 4-time, Jeff Gordon.
That he does.
That's a few champion. That's 11 championships right there between two guys. Never mind Mark Martin and all the other guys that drove for him.
In the last, what?
20 years.
24 years or so?
Yeah.
94, I think, was Gordon's 94. First one. I could be wrong. So, yeah, I don't know. I say look out for Kyle Busch. I think he's getting frustrated. I mean, I shouldn't say frustrated, but he's really looking. He's had fast cars, had bad luck on the pit road and silly mistakes here and there, but...
going the wrong way on the wedge adjustment.
Yeah.
That's got a bite.
Definitely not the driver's fault on that. Yeah, then he couldn't bring it back.
Well, he couldn't get the track bar down.
Yeah, he couldn't get
enough.
The track bar down, so... silly little things, so hopefully...
And Kyle did win... the fall race last year at Martinsville.
That's right.
In the playoffs.
And Brad Kay won the spring race, but Brad Kay hasn't really been...
Yeah, I don't like to talk about that. BK. You know what? He's gotten a lot better. He used to be a reckless punk. Now he's actually not so bad. He's a family guy. And
just he's got a good foundation.
He does.
I don't remember what it's for.
What?
What's his foundation?
Oh!
Something with kids, I think.
Yeah.
Sick kids of some sort, so that's good. But
does a lot for the community. Real good guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, saw an interesting sight today.
Go on.
Driving home from Winnipeg.
Go on. What'd you see?
The black and whites of the sky. The intimidators of the sky, if you will.
The jumbo ships of the sky, of the feathered... species in the sky.
You're one of your all-time favorite animals to pursue.
My all-time favorite animals to pursue. That's right.
Did I not get a fellow fired up for fall time?
Boy, howdy, does it ever. And that's got me fired up looking for any white ones in the sky. We don't have too many around here typically, but conservation snow goose season opened March 15th.
Really?
It is currently... March the 23rd.
So you can blouch a few.
You can blouch a few snows, yes.
So
you can blouch 50 snows a day.
Does it have to be a shotgun-related blouch? Or can you just blouch them any way you can? Because, I mean...
No.
I'll let you answer that question.
No. You can blouch them with a shotgun, not using a single projectile.
Oh.
And using steel shot, not lead. Lead's illegal.
Yes, sir.
You can blouch them with a bow.
See, I know we talked about this the other day, but I still don't understand that. An arrow is technically a single projectile.
But it's from a bow, not a firearm.
Well, if you would have seen the hole in the side of the deer that I shot, you did see the hole in the side of the deer that I shot, and I reckon that even coming from a bow, I mean, that's 412 feet per second.
No, yours is 312 feet per second.
400 with the arrows I shoot.
No, that's impossible.
It's 412.
I don't think so.
I'm almost certain. Let me do a little... just to confirm.
Because the APA Is it called Diamondback or something?
I mean, Saskatchewan.
They have the fastest bow shooting 393. My diamond shoots 313, I believe.
Maybe I'm wrong then. It's very possible.
309 makes more sense to me, but...
312. Well, with the arrows I'm shooting, I'm a little higher, but...
Not 100 feet per second. Five.
Sorry, yeah, 319. I was wrong.
How about that?
I don't know where I got the four from, but still, that's still fast.
Here we go.
Okay.
Regulations in Manitoba.
All right.
Bows may be used during the upland game bird, wild turkey, or migratory game bird seasons. A bow hunter hunting wild turkey must not be in possession of a longbow or recurve bow requiring less than 40 pounds draw weight at 28 inches draw, or a compound bow set at less than 40 pounds. Broadhead of greater than 7/8 inch. A hunter cannot be in possession of a crossbow while hunting migratories. You may use a crossbow to hunt wild turkey or upland game. And a centerfire rifle cannot be used to hunt upland game, wild turkey, or migratory.
So I can blouch him with a 22.
I suppose.
That's a rimfire.
A pellet gun or rimfire, example 17 or 22 caliber, may be used to hunt upland game birds. They cannot be used to hunt wild turkey or migratory birds.
Oh, dadgummit. So I gotta use a shotgun either way. Or a bow.
Or a bow.
Nah, seems like a lot of work. We always have a bunch on our fields this time of year, though. If you want to come blouch them.
Snows?
Mm-hmm. We usually get probably about 15, 20 a year land on our fields. We're right beside the gravel pit.
Yeah. They just like in general, in this area, there's not very many. They're, in our migration route, it is, yeah, they're more to the west, probably about an hour usually at least. That's where they start, or really start to pick up.
So can you really, can you eat those suckers?
Oh yeah.
Are they tasty?
Yep.
No different than a cat?
It's different.
Is it?
Yeah.
A little darker?
Yeah, it might be a bit darker. Okay. It's been a while since I've had one, but in general they're a smaller bird.
Yep.
There's a lot more of them. And the reason they have conservation seasons is to avoid overpopulation, which leads to disease.
Those
disease,
critters.
And disease is not something you want in critters.
Because you know what? Those, even the, just the regular Canada gooses, they caused a whole heck of a headache probably 4 years ago.
Whereabouts?
Remember the avian flu? Right around here. Remember when the avian flu came? That's how it was coming. Airborne viruses were killing off the agricultural sector of poultry.
One difference between Canada geese and snow geese is Canada geese, when they land on a field and feed on the green stuff grown on the field,
yep,
they just nip off the tops.
Okay.
Whereas the snow geese rip the whole thing out of the ground.
Root and all.
Root and all. Whether that, whether or not if they eat the root, I don't know exactly. But right there, you're, if you're growing winter wheat, the tips, the, your wheat's gonna be
she gone. Not many guys do winter wheat no more. It's a bit of a
around,
risk.
Around here, it's fairly common.
Yeah, it's a bit of a risk though.
It is. It definitely
having
is.
A seed plant in the ground all winter, never knowing what we're gonna get.
I guess, but if it fails, you can always just run on a spring wheat though, right?
Yeah, but I'd reckon you'd still have to spray and everything. Like you'd have to cultivate and till. And
yeah, yeah.
You, then you're going to have a mix. It's like alfalfa. It'll come up either way, whether you spray it or not.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, goose is in the sky. Geese in the sky.
Spring is here.
Spring has sprung.
Heard a forecast for some snow potentially, but...
Yeah, like 15 to 20 centimeters in the next few days here.
Well,
and it's supposed
us.
To get cold again.
Oh, good night.
That's what I said. I was getting ready. Yeah, we're into the minuses by next week Thursday.
Oof.
I mean, that could change. But, yeah, that's getting you all fired up.
It sure is.
As soon as I seen them, I was like, oh, Noanne will be fired up.
That's right. What do you got going on the schedule coming up here?
Speaking of fired up,
let's hear about it. The snow is melting. What does that mean to you?
Well, that A means scouting, for one.
For what? What exactly are we scouting for?
Well, we're scouting for whitetails. Well,
of course we're scouting for whitetails.
What else are we going to scout for? I mean, you could scout for bear, but that you just bait for it.
Well, you got to do a bit of scouting.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right now, it'd be a pretty poor time to still be scouting, though. It's,
yeah.
They're not very active yet. I'm sure some of them are still down. Most of them are probably still down.
Another thing that means the snow's melting.
Go on.
Small game hunting. Which, I know I am a little more of an avid fan than you, I would say. I enjoy a nice rabbit every now and again.
As do I. I don't do it as much as I used to when I was younger. I did a lot more.
Yeah. Well, same here. I mean, I don't make a... Back on the farm, that was every weekend you were going out and... Yeah. Oh, you see a rabbit, you just went and got the gun and shot it. I wish then I would have known how good rabbit meat was.
I still do that all the time here.
What?
It's just a bit of a hush-hush.
Yeah. Huh.
I've skewered my fair share with my bow and with my pellet gun.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, on a little bit of an unrelated topic...
Go on.
You know anybody that's got a decent air rifle? Like a pellet gun that a fellow could borrow? I really don't want to buy one.
How fast?
Just enough to, if you shoot a rabbit in the head, it'll put her down. I want to take it out when I go scouting to the white shell so I can blotch a few rabbits for meat.
You said decent. Mine's not decent.
Oh, shoot. It doesn't even need to be. As long as it can shoot 50 feet. Somewhat straight.
Why don't you use your bow?
Because here's the thing. I would.
But?
But I always feel like if I'm walking in the woods with a bow out of season, that's asking for attention. You know, if you walk through the woods with a pellet gun, no one's going to think twice to say, oh.
In this day and age, they see something that looks like a gun, they're freaking out calling the cops.
That is true.
This man's...
I was thinking more of along the conservation officers.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to see a fellow walking through the back 40 with a bow. They're going to think, deer are out this time of year. That guy's probably trying to get himself a little bit of deer meat. I just don't like the hassle of it. I'd rather take a little air rifle. Go...
What about a 22?
I can bring a 22. There's not that. I'm just thinking lightweight.
22s are lightweight.
Not ours. Our thing's a friggin' 50 cal compared to right now.
That thing is well built. I don't know, man. I think you should go with a bow. I think that's your best bet. You should get used to hiking with a bow.
Oh, I got no problem hiking with my bow. It's just the hassle of getting stopped.
I don't think you're that.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I feel like that's like driving downtown Winnipeg without your seatbelt on. You know, you're just...
Hang on. Hunting small game in the white shell with a bow is not illegal. Driving down Main Street Winnipeg with your seatbelt not on is illegal.
Okay, you know what I mean. It's. Let me use a better example. Driving downtown Winnipeg, eating a Big Mac. Well, not
using your signal.
Well, that's still illegal.
That's illegal. Yeah, never mind.
But eating a Big Mac technically is not illegal, but can be classified as
distracted driving.
So... If you avoid the hassle of eating the Big Mac while you're driving...
You won't get stopped for distracted driving in that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Theater.
That's all I'm saying. All I'm stating. But I'm going to go take a walk around the farm tomorrow and do a little bit of scouting for deer. And
get yourself a chicken.
I'm hoping to get myself a chicken.
There's chickens all over the place this time of year.
I know. I seen two of them the other day.
Fields are turning black and chickens are...
Old.
Chickens meaning prairie chickens or grouse or whatever you want to call them.
Thunder wings.
I guess technically in Manitoba, our prairie chickens that we call prairie chickens are not the same kind of prairie chicken that they have in, I think, South Dakota.
No, they are different.
That's more of a, what do you call that?
Isn't that a ruffled grouse?
No, we have that.
Oh, which is the
one? It's not a ruffled, it's a ruffed.
Oh, ruffed. Yeah, you're the bird enthusiast here. You like things too little with wings.
Prairie chicken is more like a pheasant, I believe. A type of a pheasant.
Okay.
If anybody that listens to this disagrees with me, let me know.
Feel free to drop a line.
Let us know. I'd hear it out.
Yeah, so. Well, yeah, hopefully we can get it. I'd like to put a little extra meat in the freezer and some good rabbit. Or
some rabbit or some
And maybe
chicken.
Find a shed or two.
Oh. That's always nice.
I'll check the fence lines.
Yeah.
That's tends to be where they are, a thick brush. Just due to the fact that they're running through it. And
look for some rubbing
these graves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually checking out one of the lands that I got permission on recently for the first time tomorrow, too. So.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's right next to the farm. I've seen the land my entire life. I've just never walked through it, so.
I'm sure you'll enjoy the different perspectives.
Yeah. Grass is always greener on the other side, they say.
That's what they say.
Speaking of green grass.
Oh, good night.
That's what I says.
So, apparently in Canada... In Canada...
Canada land.
You don't you're not required to show your possession acquisition license when purchasing a firearm. Apparently. That is what our Prime Minister
claims. The leader of our country.
Meanwhile, let it be known that it is a requirement, whether buying brand new or used, you should be showing your PAL, Possession Acquisition License. It is a requirement. You must have a valid PAL. I believe that is exact words from the RCMP website. That you must have a valid license. And to me, having a valid license means proving it.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. Yeah, you're probably better to talk to about that whole scenario.
Because.
Yes, you do need to show it.
For instance, let's say you go and park in a parking lot. You need to have a valid parking pass. Well, let's say that it's turned upside down or maybe out of sight.
Yep.
Your parking pass is not valid in that position.
Exactly.
So to me, having a valid pass or a valid PAL, possession acquisition license, you have to verify it.
Oh, for sure. It's no different than the park pass you get when you want to get into
exactly.
Parks. They tell you specifically it has to be hanging on your rear view mirror, the little arm that comes off your window.
Yeah.
Because that way they can at least walk through, or if they pass you, they see it and they say, hey, at least this guy, we know he paid.
Yeah.
Right? If you put it on your dash, you're liable to get pulled over.
That's incorrect.
So, you know what? On that same topic, if you walk into a Cabela's.
Go on.
Looking shady as all get out. If you're looking like one shady cat.
All right.
They are not legally allowed to sell you a gun. Did you know that? Hear me out.
I did not know.
Yeah. So, fellow walks into Cabela's.
All right.
Looking not terribly shady. He's wearing a trench coat. Okay. Now, for the most part, some folks might say, hey.
That's in style, bro.
That's all the power to it. Whatever. But he walks in, starts looking for a shotgun.
Okay.
He decides that he wants a Remington 870. Little short man stopper.
All right.
Little insurance
policy.
We have them. It's our life insurance when we're bear hunting.
That's right.
For the odd chance, you know. Something might go haywire.
Things happen.
Exactly. And he goes in. So he shows his possessions and acquisitions license. The guy at Cabela's goes, yeah, everything you have is valid. Let me box a gun up, go pay for it. Pay for it, right? The guy takes the gun, tucks it into his trench coat, opens up his jacket, tucks it in, you know, real shady looking, you know, hanging long.
All right.
And the guy looks at him and says, I cannot legally sell you this gun because of what you just did.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, I learned that doing my possessions and acquisitions license.
There it is.
So, not only do we have a course that you need to take to prove that you are capable of wielding a gun, which
is no joke.
It's no joke, but let's not beat around the bush here. You can act. People can act.
People can act,
right?
Yes. But there's a very difficult background check process.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm still waiting for mine.
Holy cow.
It's been almost a year.
You should probably call in about
that. I did already.
And?
They were looking into it. They were going to call me back. So if the government of Canada is listening to this.
Which?
Shoot me an Instagram DM and just say, hey.
Slide into the DMs.
This is where your pal's at. I think I figured out what happened, but I'm not quite sure yet.
Okay.
Because I switched addresses. So I think what happened is it got sent to my old one, and then I never picked it up, right? Because I'm no longer at that address. So it got sent back, and now I'm having a hard time tracking it down.
Well, that's one place that you want to keep the chief firearms officer, the CFO, you want to keep him in the loop about where you live in these days.
Yes.
These days.
So,
but yes, Justin Trudeau says that it's not a current requirement to show your pal, to show a license when purchasing a gun. That is a farce, that is false, that is completely incorrect. And that's just one reason, that's just one example to show why you should check your facts before you make complete statements.
I don't know if you're part of the group on Facebook, the Manitoba Hunting, Buy and Sell.
I think so.
I think actually you were the one that told me about it. Great place, New Commerce. There's not one guy that you can buy a rifle for that will not ask you for your pal. And that's a used gun for $200. The firearm show in Friedensfeld they have every year.
Oh yeah.
Need your pal.
Yep.
Even for a 22.
Of course. You need a pal for a pellet gun over 500 feet per second.
Yeah. Do some damage with that thing.
Yeah.
But, so that is the leader of our...
Country. Our great nation.
Yep. Hey, October 2019 is coming up.
That it is. That it is.
Hopefully we can make it through.
Cross our fingers, cross our toes, pray to the good Lord.
Hey, he knows what he's doing.
That he does.
So... Man, that's a topic that can get a fella heated real quick.
That it is.
Got into a gun debate with a guy today.
Did you know?
Yeah, about how nobody needs guns.
Oh, isn't that quite interesting?
He also said that nobody needs AR-15s. And I said, well, what's an AR-15, really? An AR-15...
Armalite.
Yeah.
15. It's a model number. Yeah. Armalite being the brand name.
Correct.
Or the...
Also, you can get the same gun... chambered in 5.56, which is a 223 for anybody who roughly.
Which is very small. It's smaller than your average deer hunting cartridge caliber.
It's a good rifle. It's a good varmint gun.
It's great for varmints.
Killing dogs. Coyotes.
Kites.
You can get the same thing in a semi-automatic, but it's dressed up as a hunting rifle. But people are okay with that one because it's not scary looking.
It's fear, man. It's fear tactics.
It is.
Fear politics. It's the way it is.
Sure, nobody absolutely needs an assault rifle, but I also I also don't need an assault golf club, but that doesn't stop me from walking around and hitting geese with my golf club if I want to. Is that an assault club? I don't know.
Just remember though, an AR-15 is not an assault rifle.
I know. I know what you're saying.
But let's just leave it at this.
Yeah, let's drop that before I start getting hot under the collar.
Nobody should have guns, and you think guns are bad. Why is it when somebody breaks into your home, the first person you're going to call is somebody with a gun?
That's what I brought up today.
And what's wrong with leveling the playing field in order to protect yourself and those you love?
Exactly.
Moving on!
Before we move on, I do want to state this point. For anybody that is not a fan of the old guns. Evil will always find a way to do evil.
That's correct.
If I wanted to reach over and strangle you with your iPhone cord, does that be... Sorry, you don't have an iPhone.
That's right, I do not have an iPhone.
You have a...
It's an LG. Life's good.
Life's good. If I wanted to reach over and strangle you with your cord here, your charging cord, does that make it an assault cord?
I don't think so.
It doesn't. If your intent is to harm or maim somebody, you will find a way to do that.
That's great.
Regardless of what weaponry you have in your hands. Moving on.
Oh, one more thing about the PEL. Trust, but verify. Moving on.
Yes.
So, what's your take on the deer population this year making it through the winter?
I have seen an incredible amount of does this year.
As have I.
I mean, I'm probably... And I'm not trying to exaggerate numbers, but I've seen, some of these could be duplicates, but I've seen 200 deer for sure this year. I've heard talk that we may be able to take one antlerless animal in our general hunting zone, area, whatever.
It's funny how they name those.
One
they
zone.
Name the overall names... our general hunting areas.
Yes.
And you break it down, it's like game bird hunting zone.
Yep.
And then big game
deer hunting management zone.
And essentially stuff like that. Anyways, yes, lots of deer. I've seen lots of deer myself.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think?
Let's talk about the winter now. In relation to that, it was there was definitely a lot of cold days.
Yep. I can agree.
Frigid nights, frigid days.
Yep.
There was not a lot of snow. Not in our area.
No, not well, not even farther south yet. Like
Sandylands definitely does have a lot more.
Oh,
always do.
Yeah.
They always do. But not enough snow to make a big impact on the deer population. I believe the deer population is thriving currently. And I believe that the season will go up this year.
You believe so, eh?
I do.
Wouldn't that be something?
You've heard talk, I've heard talk.
I've heard talk.
Talk is cheap, but
actions speak louder than words.
Death waits for no man.
True enough.
That doesn't apply.
Not really. But that's okay. It was the right idea. But no, so my opinion, yeah, we had some cold nights. I mean, it wasn't the coldest winter we've had in the last while. Yeah, it's been a few moons since we've had a really cold snap. I remember probably 4 or 5 years ago when we had that cold snap where it was like 3 months at minus 40. It felt like. But anyway.
I think this year was colder than last year.
Oh, for sure. We got lucky the last 2 years, 3 years before. We had really warm winters.
Yeah, definitely got you to shiver your timbers.
On a few occasions. I mean, it was colder here than it was on Mars a few times.
Yeah.
And I quite frankly don't know why. I live in a place where it's colder than it is in a planet. Or space, you know what I mean? It's just...
The fourth rock from the sun, I think.
Remember that song? Or remember that show? Third Rock from the Sun?
No.
You ever watch that?
No.
That was a good show.
Joe Diffie has a song called Third Rock from the Sun. I think it's Joe Diffie.
Didn't know that.
Good old 90s country.
Learn something new every day.
That you do.
So I'm hoping they're going to go up, which would be pretty neat, especially for the deer management zones.
I don't think the deer management zones will change.
No, they're not going to go up. But what I'm thinking, like, just logistically now, I mean, you could take now 5 deer.
Hypothetically, yes.
Hypothetically, yeah.
Unless if that would still be capped at 4.
I don't think it would.
That they would take away the potential 4.
I don't think they would, though, because they need the deer out of those areas.
I suppose.
Because they're trying to introduce the biggest of the cervid family.
The biggest?
Yeah, moose.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to talk about elk. No. Yeah, they're trying to that would be a reintroduction, I believe.
It would be. There used to be lots of moose. Yeah. You can actually still find remnants of moose crossing signs.
I'm sure you can, if you get lucky, you could probably find a moose out there.
We've seen mooses in St. Pierre.
We've seen mooses in St. Pierre.
We're not talking about the women either. We're talking about the four-legged critters.
With them big old paddle shovels on their heads.
Looking for 50 inches.
That's right.
So, yeah, hopefully they go up, and I guess we'll just kind of wait and see.
That we will.
Just kind of hurry up and wait. Scenario.
Scenario?
Scenario. Tomato, tomato, same thing. How do you say accurate?
We talked about this. Accurate.
Accurate. Apparently I don't pronounce it right. So if any folks out there listening...
Accurate. I don't know what accurate is.
Accurate. My gun is accurate.
You need to talk more accurately. That's an improper sentence. Accurately. You need to talk... With an increased amount of accuracy and articulation. Tongue, the tip of the tongue and the teeth and the lips.
I'm not even going to make an attempt to please you with my...
Tip of the tongue and the teeth and the lips.
Yeah, you can keep all the tips of whatever tongues you want.
That was from my elementary music teacher / choir teacher. That's what we had to do. Tip of the tongue and the teeth and the lips. The tip of the tongue and the teeth and the lips. I'm almost butchering it as I speak. So.
They don't teach you that kind of thing in Gruntal. They ask you, what do you want to do for a living? And you either say chicken farming or stucco, and then they send you out the door.
Those are your options.
Those are your options if you're from Gruntal.
No hog farming?
No.
That's pansy.
That's pansy.
Shoot.
Mm-hmm. Great neck of the woods, though. So
it is, though. It really is.
Can't Can't complain.
Ain't that the truth? So tell me a story, would you?
I would love to entertain you a little bit.
You've told me, now and in the past, that you enjoy chasing four-legged critters, amongst other wild game.
Yes.
And
four-legged, most four-legged critters.
Most four-legged.
Well,
et cetera.
Most four-legged.
Wild game in general.
Yep, I got you.
Tell me, when did that start?
Oh, so.
Or give me a, like just a rough idea. I don't think you've ever told me this.
Well, my first foray into hunting, I mean, growing up on the farm, there was always guns around or bows or whatever. My first foray into hunting, my dad had shot a buck on the farm, actually.
Okay.
It was the last antlered animal to come off the farm. It wasn't a giant or nothing. It was a 3x3, and I would dare to say that thing barely grows to 100.
I believe even a 3x3 has meat for the freezer.
It did have meat for the freezer. So I remember my dad and his buddy Al gutting this thing out and dressing it and skinning it and getting all the cuts off it. And I remember thinking, hey, that's pretty neat watching them. You know, I vividly remember watching the knife work and thinking, hey, that's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to learn that someday. And I was probably about 8 or 9 years old and went for my hunter safety at
12.
12. I would have just been 12.
Or you could have, I think you could have done it if you were turning 12 like soon or something.
Yeah.
Like
it may have even, it was winter. It was cold outside.
Okay.
So it would have been before my birthday. Anyway, so did my hunter safety, got that, did a, bought a Bear Odyssey 2.
When you were 12 years old?
Yep.
Okay.
Farm money.
Oh, yeah.
I worked on the farm for years and years.
Yeah, you did.
Dirt bikes and whatever, right? So I bought a bow, Bear Odyssey 2, and practiced, and that's all I did for probably about, well, that whole entire spring and summer, and a ways into fall. And that fall, my dad would have to correct me on this if he's going to listen to this, but if I remember correctly, the rule was if I could hit a sour cream lid at 50 yards with 3 arrows, I could go hunting. Yeah, so not very big.
That's about a 4 to 5 inch diameter.
Yep, that was a heart shot. That could heart punch it.
Yeah.
From 50 yards.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly, I could hit it from 45. I could have my grouping at 45. So it was kind of one of those, okay, well, you're close enough, you know? Mm-hmm. So that summer, I set up a tree stand in the back. My dad helped me set up a tree stand, and we had a corn spill in the back. Equipment failure.
It happens from time to time.
It does on the farm frequently, especially our farm. So yeah.
Get that checked out.
Yeah, I should probably do a little more maintenance, right? So anyway, I hunted that stand every day after school. And all throughout school, starting September and October, and then it started getting cold. And I did a hunt in Sardo and on some property we had permission on. And that was the year that I seen my first ever buck.
How about that?
And it was a gorgeous 4x4. Massey. Massey. Like he was thick.
Ferguson.
Yeah. Nope. A good one. I like that. Yeah. So anyway, he came in.
That's a tractor, folks. Massey, yeah. Ferguson.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't manufacture anything anymore, I don't think.
Nope.
Carry on.
Ford bought him.
That's right.
Then became Case. No, not Case.
No.
New Holland. Ford became New Holland.
Yeah.
Because New Holland still uses the blue. Anyway, so that buck came in on a rope at 175 yards. And me and my dad were sitting in the double tree stand.
Double together. Tree stand.
And
obviously not harnessed in.
I was. I was harnessed in.
They had harnesses back then?
Yeah, I was harnessed in. My dad had rigged up something. It wasn't official by any means. I think it was actually just a construction harness tied around my waist.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess if you're a 12-year-old kid or whatever you were, it's not a bad idea to be harnessed up.
And I mean, I was only like maybe 70 pounds soaking wet. I was scrawny.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that buck came in. Me and my dad are standing there, and we're both full drawed about 42 yards. I remember that number very specifically. Because I knew he was in my range.
Mm-hmm.
I could heart punch him. And right before I let the arrow fly, I heard twang, zip, and leaves rustling. And this deer jumped about 3 feet in the air, it seemed
40
like.
40 feet in the air!
Oh, boy howdy. He launched like a cat and ran off. And the first thing I remember noticing is he didn't do that whole hunchback. He didn't like, oh, I'm hurt. He was like, whoa, scared me, and took off. And,
I'm out of here.
Yeah, never found the arrow. Well, we found the nock. The nock fell off the arrow.
All right.
No blood, nothing. My dad basically took the shot from me. And I was buck shy up until last year. Never got within shooting distance of a buck.
How about that?
And so the hunting, yeah, was kind of... The outdoors was bred into me a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love it out there. Hunting has just always been kind of around between the, you know, chipmunks and squirrels and rabbits. And now just moved up to bigger critters.
Bigger things.
Yeah. How about you? How did you ever get into hunting? Because you've got an interesting story when it comes to getting into hunting.
I guess so. Well, I wasn't lucky enough to grow up on the farm like Mr. Friesen here, but we grew up in a rural, you technically can't even call it a town. It's technically a village
a village district.
It's a local urban district now, they call it, but it was technically a village. I think it's classified as.
I got you.
Anyways, but it was the kind of place where oftentimes you'd see deer coming nearby the house, literally. You'd see skunks come through. Even, actually, recently, last couple of years, there's been bears come through town.
Really?
Again, using the word town loosely.
Yes.
So, yeah. So it's, you know, it's civil. It's not on the mile road grid, but it's not, well, it is on the mile road grid, but it's, not, you know what I mean? It's a village, not completely rural.
Yeah.
I grew up across the street. From where we are right now. But the more important part in my history is I grew up across the street from the most well-known gunsmith in the southeast Manitoba area.
Heck of a guy.
And growing up, my uncles on both my father and my mother's side hunted. So I had lots and lots of influence growing up. Still do. I love it. So anyways, I started out, I think I got my first pellet gun when I was... I was a young lad, probably around 12 or something. I don't know, maybe younger. I can't even remember. Some time ago.
Knee high to a grasshopper.
Yeah. And so I grew up hunting chipmunks and squirrels and rabbits. My brother was big into that. And so I just followed suit of what he did. And my neighbor, the gunsmith, he taught us how to shoot recurve bows when we were young. We'd go over and shoot recurves all the time, and if we could shoot accurately, he'd give us like a quarter or something, or a nickel or whatever, you know. And so yeah, I grew up in my young days of there was times, like, we had lots of rabbits around here, and there was times when we had to, like, don't shoot any more rabbits, we need them more. We need to let them reproduce. Things are getting thin here.
Which is funny, because they breed like rabbits.
Yeah. But I guess if you reduce the numbers substantially enough, it just takes extra time.
I guess so.
My brother, he was big into snaring rabbits.
we paused said podcast to remember to give a follow to @FlatlandsFieldAndFowl on Instagram, the old Insta G,
and
@Bushmaster25 on his personal, which I highly recommend. He's got some great content coming out there.
Don't forget to follow Tall Oak Pursuit 18 on Instagram and Tanner Friesen, which is
T Freeze
31.
FreeZe 31.
And all you kids, don't forget to buckle up.
And?
I don't know.
Finish your ribbons.
Oh. All you kids, finish your ribbons.
We gotta get a good Cooking with Bushmaster.
I think
started up here.
I think so.
The Suzy Q.
It's all in the Suzy Q.
I heard a song about Suzy Q the other day on a rock radio station. I can't remember who sang it now.
It's Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Is that who it is?
That's right.
Hey.
That's a different Suzy Q.
Okay, well, anyway, back to the hunting story.
More than one.
Back to getting into hunting here. You got a pellet gun when you're a young lad, and old
and
Mr. Schellenberg would give you a nickel every time.
We were snaring rabbits, my brother and I. My brother more than I. He was much better at it than I, and he still is to this day. So hats off to my brother. So, again, yeah, grew up hunting small game, shooting recurves. I didn't get into hunting big game until I was, I don't know what I was, like 17 or 16. It took me a little longer. I don't know. I went along with my brother a lot, and I always forgot to get myself into it. So yeah. Quick plug. Wiley X sunglasses.
Hey.
The meanest shades you'll ever find.
If they're good enough for American Sniper,
they're good enough for you.
They're good enough for me.
And they are ANSI Z87 2 Plus rated, which is a safety certification.
Okay.
So you can use them as
safety. Also, glasses. Really cheap replacement lenses.
Yeah.
$20, really good. I scratched mine. You can order a new pair. So yeah, you didn't get into big game hunting until you were 16, 17.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I mean.
What was the first big game hunt you did? Was it deer?
Yeah, it would have been deer.
Booner.
I would have been hunting with my brother, sitting up there with him.
So really, if it wasn't for your brother and or, well, no, and I mean, and Jim. I mean, those are your two biggest influences in the hunting game.
I mean, my uncles have played a big part in it too, but yeah. Like, for instance, I got my first turkey at one of my uncle's places. I got my first deer at another uncle's place. I got my first bear at a different uncle's place.
Man, you got some game-rich family.
That is correct.
No wonder we're buddies.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, it just, I don't know, I guess I bloomed a little later. I kept it to the small game for too long, and I think, yeah, I just,
Is it really bad, though, if you cut your teeth on small game, really? Doesn't matter, you're still out and doing
it,
right?
Doing something, yeah. Working something.
Like, I mean, heck, I didn't take my first deer till this last hunting season. I mean, not for lack of effort.
Yeah, exactly.
But just didn't get lucky.
I think I just got caught up in experiencing it from, like, being there and watching and storytelling. And then I think I just completely, it went out of my mind to do it myself. As opposed to, you know, help out or just experience it. And then finally I realized, well, okay, I need to do this.
Yeah.
And then...
have some stories of your own to share.
Exactly. Some
which
more stories than just rabbits and squirrels, etc.
Yeah, you can only tell the same story about how you shot a rabbit from 32 feet away over and over. You can only tell it so many times. Oh.
33 and a half this time.
Yeah, there you go. Woo, personal record.
Yeah, no. But, and so, yeah.
In all honesty, that's...
I mean, I bought my first... In Canada, you take your PAL course when you're 18 years old. But when you're 15 years old, you can take what's called a possession-only license course, which is exactly the same as your PAL. The only difference is that you cannot purchase a firearm, but... you can have a firearm on your person. You can be hunting by yourself with a firearm without any supervision of any kind. The only restriction is that you need quotation marks permission from your guardian or your parent.
Yeah.
So, and if a store does not have a policy against it, you can buy ammunition.
with a POL.
Yes.
Some places, such as Canadian Tire, will say you have to be 18. That's a store policy. Fine. Yep. Whatever. Yep. Cabela's, I could go and buy as many rounds as I want when I was 15, 16, 17.
Blouch!
Blouch! I mean, you're pretty poor then, but
yeah,
you do what you can.
It's you know what? Being poor from buying hunting stuff is different than being poor from buying like booze other or something stuff. Because it's fun. It's yeah. a fun bro.
It's rewarding.
Like, you know, this last year, I realized how much hunting stuff that I have. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's I've collected so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's stuff that you just don't get rid of. And every time you see it, it's a memory.
It is a memory. And a lot of that stuff lasts for a long time.
And you know what? That's probably my favorite part of hunting, to be honest with you.
It's not.
It's the storytelling and the great experiences you get from it.
Yeah. But another thing, you're buying hunting gear. And it's most of it's not cheap. Correct. But you're buying, chances are you're going to be buying pretty decent stuff, which is going to last you for a while, which it turns into basically an investment.
Oh, it is for sure.
Hopefully a long-term investment.
Yep, no doubt about it.
The thing you're probably going to be replacing the most often is your boots.
Your boots, and that's a huge investment because your feet, tell you what, I've done a hunt. You can find the story on my Instagram page. I did a hunt where I had to cut hip waders off at the knee that were two sizes too small and then walk across the frozen tundra.
Not fun. How about that?
Not fun.
How about that?
But
I'd say that's about it for the day.
I'd reckon.
There's things to do, people to see, places to go. Episode 3.
Yep. Wrapped up.
Pert near.
Not so bad.
Finish your ribbons.
Don't forget the Suzy Q.
Mugs bantering.
Hashtag mugs bantering.
How about that?
How about it? Yeah. There's something else I was going to mention. I forgot what I was going to mention now. Besides that. Oh! Thought of a great thing. Instead of final thoughts, give me shower thoughts. Because, you know, that's where I do my best thinking, is when I'm in the shower. You know, the other day I thought, I wonder if I've ever bought milk from the same cow twice. Also, another shower thought that I had. Dog food can say whatever flavor it wants to on it. You're not going to try it. Or all three E's in Mercedes are pronounced differently. These are the things that I think about frequently.
Good, nice. These are some good shower thoughts.
Exactly. So I'm thinking maybe our last thought of the day could be...
Not final thoughts, not...
I'm thinking shower thoughts. Not... What's your shower thought for the day? Yeah. Your random thing that maybe doesn't have anything to do with... what we talked about in said podcast.
Or it can,
yeah, either or.
So what are your shower thoughts?
That was my shower
thoughts. Oh, those were?
My shower thought was about the shower thoughts.
Okay.
All right. Coming up with a name.
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing how many deer we can take this year. And I'm really looking forward to it not being cold anymore.
Amen, brother.
And I'm looking forward to hopefully new things on the horizon as far as work goes. Hopefully sooner than later. And I'll tell you one thing else.
Right.
I'm looking forward to eating supper.
Hey. Got some good old sketty sitting on the stove if you need it.
All right.
All right.
Finish your ribbons.
Finish your ribbons.